Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I'd like to welcome any visitors we have here this morning. We just thrilled to death to have you. If you look in the pouch in front of the chair in front of you there, you'll see an envelope with a form and a pen in it. If you'd fill out the information on that, put it in the chair on, I mean, not chair, put it in a basket on the right of the door on your way out this morning, you could let us know who you were, and we just love to know about you and maybe give you a call and tell you you're welcome and just welcome you back. So if you could do that, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
More than usual. Obviously, prayer meeting is every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock through this door to my right on the at the floor, not on the stage, and through the ante room into the classroom behind. That meets at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. Women's Bible study is Tuesday at 6:30. Terry Buckler may be able to lead that this week. She's presently in a back room with a terrible cough, so as not to expose us, listening by way of speaker. I believe they're in the Book of Ruth, which was started this past week. Then we have our normal Wednesday night service, which is a prayer time for all gathered, and a Bible study which follows as well. That's led by Ray North. And spring cleaning work day coming this Saturday, the 22nd. In your bulletin, you have an extra sheet that gives the work day tasks indoor and out. You can see the things and possibly come prepared for these duties that you care to take part in. I'm going to try to get started on painting the passageway structure outside. That's going to be a long-term project, I'm sure, because there'll be some grinding and such. So, in other words, come prepared for a task that you see that you'd like to be engaged in. The women's spring brunch is Saturday, this coming 29th of April at 10:30. You can read there. That's at the home of our wonderful pianist, Brenda Smith. There's a sign-up sheet, and there's quite a few names already on it. There's a podium just outside the door where you receive your programs for the service, and a clipboard with a pen and a sign-up sheet is there for your, Kindness Cottage food pantry collection will be Sundays the 23rd and 30th of April. There usually is a table to the left as you walk out through the sanctuary door, not the front door, but the sanctuary door, into the foyer. On that table is where you would place your goods that you would make available for the Kindness Cottage food pantry collection effort. And with that, I think we'll go to prayer. Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, the sheep of your fold have heard your voice calling to worship. And we have gathered this morning. We are a new creation, born again by faith in the shed blood of the Lamb of God who took away our sin. Lord, we have just rejoiced in this season of your resurrection from the death and burial, which penalty all mankind has suffered in unbelief. Lord, you have commanded that we who believe remember your love for your sheep, and how no greater love exists than a man lay down his life for his friends. How blessed we are who believe to have such a friend, so obedient unto his heavenly Father, even unto death on a cross. Lord, we seek to bless your holy name this morning as we worship together with our songs of praise, hymns of grace, even ever so amazing. Lord, we seek your blessing in the reading and hearing of your word. We're all here gathered, and any who may listen from afar. Lord, we ask your special blessing on our pastor that he faithfully brings your message today and the truth that you intended at its writing 2,000 years ago by men entrusting in the living incomparable I Am, who would reveal himself to all his creation. Lord, equip us to be ready in season and out with testimony for sheep, not of your fold, and without excuse, ignorant of the groanings of your creation, but longs for your return as King. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe we again are in the book of 1 John this morning. Chapter 3 of 1 John. We will read verses 10 through 23. 1 John 3, 10 through 23. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment.
Smiling, good looking, intelligent, some not so much, others more. Good to see you, it really is. What a beautiful day we have. Those that have been out, it's good to see you back again with us in fellowship this morning. And I was about ready to come and eat supper with you one night and remind you, but it's good to see you. Brenda, Brad, what a blessing you two are. Brenda played, played that, what I would call a prelude or interlude while everybody was coming in and getting seated. And boy, I tell you what, I almost stood up and gave you a standing ovation. You have a God-given talent, and we appreciate you using it and manifested here with us. You know, grandpas, I was, this has been a week. I mean, it has been a week. I have been in First John now for a number of weeks. I find it, let's say, sometimes fearful to get into a passage of Scripture because I can almost tell the trial that is coming my way. And this week, this week has been a trial. I'm going to look at some of that this morning. I pray that I learn the lesson that God would have me learn. You pray for me. This has been quite different. Never experienced this before. And but John here in 1 John, we'll get to our message this morning. But here in 1 John, John is giving us some ways to test. Ways to test. You know, we can put on a show for some people. Understand there was a problem one time before between some neighbors with boundaries that come that are shared between the two. And understand there was a lady who came out and was harassing the fence builders. I'm not the fence builder, by the way. She was harassing the fence builder and the owner of the property because of the situation, called the police. Well, when she saw what was happening, she ran almost, trotted back to her house, and came out of her house when the police got there with a mask on and a cane. I'm just telling you, this is the things that we suffer. When we get into the Word of God, and God's Word tells us that we ought to love the unlovable, that is a tough call. We're going to pray and get into the Word and see what He has to say to us this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You so much for each one that's here. We thank You for grace. Father, oh, without grace, that it would be undone, lost, without hope, forever, separated from You. And Father, we thank You so much for grace. Father, give us grace. Give us, You've given us grace, but give us an extra measure of grace as we go through the trials and situations, Father, that this old world brings to us. Father, we pray that there's any here this morning who do not know You and assured of heaven as their home, we pray, Father, that they might leave here knowing that their sins have been forgiven, removed as far as east as from the west. And Father, help them to see, to realize, and to accept the fact that You love them with a perfect love. Father, there's a perfect place in which You dwell, and they can go and be with You, perfected because of their faith in You, but they can live in this perfect place with You forever and ever and ever. Father, You give them a guarantee the moment they trust Christ. You give them a guarantee that they might know Christ and know that their sins have been forgiven. And Father, learn from Thy Word because of Your Holy Spirit who indwells. So Father, we pray for that this morning. We'll sure give You the honor and praise, Father, this day for the things that You have to say to us. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. I heard about a minister said that it didn't bother him when people checked their watches to see if he's going overtime. He said what did cause him distress was when they held it up, looked at it, see if it's running. So we're going to try to get you out of here on time this morning, but we want to look into the book of 1 John. I have to tell you one other little goodie here. One Sunday, a preacher announced to his congregation that the church had a new public address system. He said the microphone and wiring were paid for using church funds, but the loudspeaker was donated by a member of the congregation in memory of his wife. So, ladies, we love you. I'm married to one. I don't see how she puts up with me, but she does. Looking in 1 John as a little bit of a recap, 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, we find here that this portion of Scripture is sharing with us a fact concerning the new nature. The new nature in the believer, in other words, when we trust Christ as our personal Savior, God's Word tells us that we have experienced a spirit birth. In other words, we have a new identity living within us. And that identity is the new birth, the person of Christ, the Holy Spirit who indwells us, and there is a conflict in our minds and in our bodies and in our attitudes, and this old fleshly nature that doesn't go away just because we trust Christ as our Savior, that will be taken care of. God has that planned out. We will lose this old nature the moment we die. Or we'll lose this old nature the moment that we're raptured. Two ways that we lose this old nature, this body in which we live, this thing that needs a salvation. And we are given salvation as a gift when we trust Christ as our Savior. The Holy Spirit takes His abode within us, but there's that conflict. That's the reason when we come into tough situations that we really have no control over, we really just grit our teeth and boy, is it hard to pray for them. It's hard. It really is. But you know, the other thing that is hard for me to comprehend, lightly I say, is to think that God could love them as much as He loves me. Let me tell you a secret. He does. Loves them as much as He loves His own children. In fact, He died for them. He died for the sins of the whole world. Those things that we've done wrong. Those things that sometimes we lay awake at night thinking about our actions. And you know, I find when I talk to believers or believers come to me and they share with me, boy, I had a tough night last night. And they share whatever is on their mind. I'm encouraged with that because I see that as the Holy Spirit working within their lives to strengthen them for the road ahead. And so we who know Jesus Christ have trusted Him and what He's done for us to get us to heaven. Let me use a little illustration. I got my sin here in this back pocket. Have it with me all the time. Let this hand represent you and I. God's Word in this represents sin. My wallet is sin. This hand is you and I. God's Word says that we're all sinners. We've all done things that are wrong. We've all done things that we deserve death and hell and separation from God forever because of the things that we've done. You fall into that category? God's Word says we all do. Letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, He was sinless, He was perfect, He had no sin, and He loved us, though, with a love. He loved us so much, but there's a problem. We still have that sin on us. Even though God loves us, we can't get into God's perfect heaven with our sin. So Jesus Christ, who was sinless and perfect, came. And He took our sin by dying on the cross. That's the payment for sin. Dying on the cross. And He gives us His perfection to go to heaven on. You see, it's a gift. We don't do anything to earn it. I was talking to a gentleman earlier this morning. And I told him, I always tell people that people are willing to take anything for free except salvation. Christ comes in His righteousness, left His Father in heaven, came and died a cruel death upon the cross, paying for everything that Mike has ever done. Or, let me add something else, or ever will do. See, he paid for not some of it. He didn't pay for a third of it. He paid for it all. Dying on the cross gives us his righteousness to go to heaven on. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, let me say, God's word is true. And God's word says someday Christ is going to come back and rapture us out. Who know Jesus Christ as our Savior will rapture us out, and you'll be left behind. So it's very important. I'm not saying clean up your life. There is no Dawn dish detergent that can clean this sin up. You see, it has to be paid for. And it'll either be paid for you by refusing Christ and his death on the cross as payment for your sin. You'll have to pay for it. Or Christ paid for it and you can accept that. And God's word says that when you believe that, you have eternal life. That is the tremendous thing that we who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior need to be sharing with people that do not know Christ. But you see, we receive a new nature the moment we trust Christ as our personal Savior. You see, the new nature does not sin. That's the reason we get into heaven, is because it's perfect. And when this old body passes away, dies, and placed in the ground or in a furnace, the body is destroyed, but the spirit lives on. It's forever, you see. And that spirit that we have, who know Christ as our personal Savior, is a Holy Spirit. We have the new birth. We have been made perfect. We have been made sinless. The gift is ours. So we find here in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That new birth does not sin. Why? It's of God. So we find that we do not lose our old nature. It's still with us. We battle against that. The new nature cannot sin because it's born of God. And so therefore, that new birth that we have, we get into heaven because it is perfect. We find in verse 10, in this, the children of God are manifest. In what? We find the new birth. We are manifest. And the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You see, the children of God are manifested. We have this new birth. And so we should seek to serve others. We should seek to see those who do not know Christ, to know Christ as personal Savior. Verse 10, look with me, 1 John chapter 3. Christ said, ye shall know them by their fruits. Now, I do not believe in fruit inspectors, because fruit inspectors can be off in their decision. But we find here that God's word said, Christ says, you shall know them by their fruits. There are certain things that are manifested in a person's life when they trust Christ as their personal Savior. You see, before we trust Christ, we have no choice in the matter, this old body, this old nature. Its tendency to sin is superior to our will to not sin. So we find here in this passage of Scripture that in this, being born of God, the children are manifested. The children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. So we find here that John is saying there's a test, so to speak, by which you can maybe recognize those who know Christ and those who don't. Let me say this. A believer can sink into sin as far as any unbeliever. Did you hear me? a believer can get into sin as deep and as gross as any unbeliever. Why? Because we're in this old sinful body. The desires of the flesh never change. And if they do not, that person, that believer, who sinks into deep, deep sin, they don't allow God, the Holy Spirit, to lead them and guide them and to control their actions, their desires, their intentions, their attitudes. They'll sink into sin. But we find here, John writes, and he says, in this the children of God are manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. He that loveth not his brother, he doesn't either, you see. We find here that Christ said, you shall know them by their fruits. The one who practices righteousness is not because of him wanting to be saved through practicing righteousness, but he practices righteousness because he is saved. It produces fruit. Augustine once said, the devil made no one. He begat no one. He created no one. But whosoever imitates the devil is, as it were, a child of the devil through imitation, not being from him. We can imitate. We're good at imitators. We can imitate even when we're small. I have a little. How old is he now? Jake. Hmm? Okay, he's 18 months old. He's a cutie. Y'all have seen and heard him. I'd say you heard him more than see him. But he can imitate. And I was stretching and yawning and just relaxing at the house and happened to look over, and there is Jake sitting across the room in his mother's lap doing this. And I saw that, and I thought, well, I will try a little test, see if he really knows what he's doing. And I rubbed my cheek, and he rubbed his cheek. And I did this, and he did this. So we are good at imitating. We're good at with our mask on and with our cane when we're capable of walking without them. We're imitators. And so people can imitate. Unbelievers can imitate. They can act as if they know Christ, but in reality, they do not. We should not be fruit inspectors. That's not a valid test. You don't have good basics, ingredients, if you would, to start out. An unbeliever can imitate a believer. But do you know what? A believer can imitate an unbeliever. Get off in sin. The actions they display are not the actions that Christ would have us to display. They can be off base. You can make them a bad choice. But we find John refines this as we go in a little further. And look at verse 11. We find, for this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. That is a hard job sometimes. Because many people, even believers, sometimes are hard to love. They are just hard to love. I've experienced those through the years. Of course, I've never been hard to love. Yes, my wife. She says, sometimes I love you, I don't like you. That's a truthful woman sitting right there. And that is, we can be hard to love, you and I. But when we're hard to love, we do such damage. We do such damage with the cause of Christ. People look at us and say, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want anything to do with it whatsoever. hard on the unbeliever. And you see, it's hard on the believer too because they miss out on the blessings of God in their lives. We ought to learn to love one another. But what kind of love is this? What kind of love is this that we should love with? It's not a warm, fuzzy feeling. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be a fleshly kind of love. I love you. Been many a time that I've spoken with, and most of the time, bless your heart, ladies, most of the time it's a woman or a young lady who's found her love in life. And they're just overcome with those emotions that they have for this guy, this special guy who God has prepared for them. And in the background, all of these flashing lights going off. I can see them. All of the sirens that are going off. All of the horns that are honking. Honk, 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 honk. Oh, but Mike, you just don't understand. It was his wife's fault. Wife. He's married? Still? Not divorced? Yeah. More lights go off. Explosions over here. Why don't you see it? Why don't you see it? There's signs. Let me say this. A guy can put on a lot of signs of love and it not be the kind of love you ladies need to go for, young ladies especially. Be careful. Make sure that the man that you're looking for has not come with a whole load of baggage that you never see. It's hid in the moving van. You never see it until the words "I do" are spoken. And then the moving van backs up. Here comes all of the trash of this guy's life. Be careful, ladies. Learn how to love in the way that God tells us to love. And that is to love because God loves you. And if we operate that way, men, us too, if we operate that way, we will love in the kind of love that God would have us to have one to another. The people that are easy to love, oh, listen, blossom like a rose. Those that are hard to love, maybe just every now and then, it's like a fire ant bite. But love them. You see, because God loves them and because they've trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and you've seen indications of that in the past, but right now you maybe don't, well, love them. They have needs and we can supply those needs. We should do it. The greatest need of people that we come across in life, the greatest need they have is to trust Christ as Savior if they're not saved already. And if they're saved already, then God bless them. We need to help them in any way that we can. Always keeping paramount God's purpose in the believer's life. Always guard yourselves. I need to guard myself against those opportunities to go astray. And there's plenty of opportunities to go astray. We ought to love as God loves. We ought to love as Christ loved. He gave himself sacrificially on the cross that we might have everlasting life. John writes, he says, don't love as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. We covered this a little bit last week. Pride was evident in Cain's life. Pride. God told him the kind of sacrifice he wanted. And it was a blood sacrifice. Blood had to be shed. Cain says, I've got my own. I've got something that is far better. God will be so much more pleased with me. I've got the prettiest basket of fruits and vegetables and grains, and I'm bringing those. That's going to be my pride. Let me encourage you. Pride in the believer's life brings about a great downfall. Pride. Also, Cain not only had pride, but Cain was jealous. Cain was jealous. He desired to be accepted like God was accepting Abel. He wanted that in his life. It's normal. We're in these old bodies. We want things. We want things. We're jealous of people who have things. We find also that Cain had a disobedient attitude. I want my own way. I'm going to do it my way. Be careful. We find that is the areas that Cain was so weak in, so much so that he slew his brother. We find in verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We find that the world here, as they look upon us who know Christ as our personal Savior, and they see things that they don't like. They don't like the stands we take against certain things. They don't like this, that, or the other because of our maybe political tendencies and preferences, this type of thing. But you see, when the world hates a believer, it's because of the believer's good works, those things that shine forth as if Christ was shining forth from that person. And he does in the things that we do for others. We find in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. That's a difficult verse to comprehend. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's what we should be doing. That is what we as believers should band together, support one another. But he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. His future, my friends, it's not bright. It's not something to look forward to. Talked to a person not long ago, and he said, boy, I'm looking forward to dying. Don't raise your hand this morning, but how many of us are looking forward to dying? You see, we who know Christ as our personal Savior, we don't have death on the horizon. We may have a separation of that new birth from this old earthly body, but we don't have a future to look forward to and dread because of dying. That puts us into God's heaven, in God's presence forever and ever. It's something to, as he was really saying, looking forward to seeing Jesus. Separation from this old body. What's heaven going to be like? We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. We find whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's a tough one too. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Do we hate? Do we hate our brothers and sisters in Christ? We ought to be careful about that. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's our call as believers, to lay down our lives for other believers. to do what we can do for those that are going through difficult times. I know of several. In fact, I know about 20 situations that are critical, in believers' lives. What do I do about that? I love them. I let them know. I get out this thing that I call sin. Times, and I take it out, and I share with people what's in there. We ought to love those who know Christ as their personal Savior. We find here in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. You see, the love of Christ for us is the gauge by which we should judge ourselves. The love of Christ. How did he love us? He gave himself for us. He promises never to leave us nor forsake us. This love of fellow believers is manifested openly, plainly, and clearly by us giving to those in need our time, our care, our listening ears, our sympathy, our prayers, our labor, and in certain instances, our substance. That's how we love one another in a Christ-like way. Christ gave his all. He left his heaven. He left his Father. He left his those saints who were there in heaven with him, came, died, accused of things that he never did, accused of things that were worthy of death should he have been guilty, but he was guilty of none of them. The only thing that he was, and I hate to use this term, but maybe it's an illustration. The only thing that he gave was all that he could give, and that was his life. Rose again on the third day, and hallelujah for that. Now in heaven with God, awaiting God's instruction. Son, go and get my children. Are you ready for that? Have you trusted Christ as your personal Savior this morning? If not, would you do that this morning? Just simply take God as a word, the best way you know how. Trust Him in what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Then you'll have God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God indwelling you. You will have that Spirit birth that's required to get into heaven. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, nobody looking around. You're here this morning. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You'd like to do that this morning. You're just simply taking God at His word, and you're telling me, Mike, I don't have all the answers. Let me tell you this, neither do I. In fact, I don't even know the questions, Mike. Neither do I. But the best way you know how, if you're here this morning, and you're thinking in your mind, and God knows your mind, He knows what you're thinking, you're wanting to trust Christ as your personal Savior, you might just say something like this, Lord, I don't have all the answers. I don't even have the questions. But the best way I know how this morning, I want to trust Christ, what He's done for me to get me to heaven. Would you, if you've never done that, would you do that right now? You know, after you trust Christ as your Savior, Satan will cause you to doubt your salvation. Lose your joy and peace. He'll bring some things your way many times that are so discouraging. But if you're here this morning and you're trusting Christ as your personal Savior, I'd count it a privilege to pray for you in the weeks to come. And the only way I know to do that, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, is to ask you just to hear to raise your hand and let me know you're trusting Christ. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to call you by name. I'm not going to get you to walk the aisle. when you and the Lord, you walk out of here, I probably tell you goodbye, but I do that to almost everybody. But if you're here this morning and your best way you know how, you're trusting God at His Word and you're trusting Christ, would you just slip up your hand until I sit and then you can put it down? Anybody? Fine. Father, we come to you this morning and we know that there's some here, Father, who do not know you as their personal Savior. Father, we ask that you'd complete the work in their lives. Father, would bring them about, the Holy Spirit would bring them about to the place where they trust you and what you've done for them to get them to heaven. Help them to realize, Father, there's nothing they could have done or said that would be too great an offense to you to keep you from trusting you and you giving them eternal life. So, Father, thank you for grace. Thank you for those that are here. Help us, Father, to be believers that love one another. Father, we'll give you the honor and praise. We ask all these things in Christ's name.